Welcome to Talking Book Publishing. I'm your host, Kathleen Kaiser, along with my co-host, Adana Moriarty. And today we have two guests, which is really kind of an interesting combination. And when Lisa Engel, one of our guests, suggested that one of her clients, Bea Blozer, who's an author, had worked with her on, and because Lisa does a lot of video work for promoting books, that they could talk together from both the author point of view and the person putting it together. So I thought this was really interesting. So welcome, Bea and Lisa.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So tell us about, Lisa, why don't you give us an overview of how this came about?
Well, I have been working with authors specifically for more than a dozen years. And, you know, I've been doing writing and editing and marketing for over 30 years, but specifically working with authors for the last dozen or so years. And then in 2021, I decided to publish my own novel myself. And so I was looking for other authors, especially local authors who wanted to promote their books as well. And that's how I met Bea. Was she had just released her memoir, which has gotten a lot of interest. And she had a website that she'd done herself, and she did a very good job on it, but she needed a little bit of help. So I said I could help her with that. And then I found out she was dabbling in video, and I said, wow, that's wonderful. You should do more of that. And we started talking about what she was doing there, and I gave her some tips, and we kind of went from there.
So Bea, what was this dabbling that you were doing?
Well, I love public speaking, and so talking to people about my book is a lot more fun for me than writing things to post on the social media. And I had actually very much disliked social media. Well, but I had started trying to do some videos for YouTube, and it was, you know, when I do a video or do anything, I want it to be just right. And so I had researched, you know, what colors I had to wear and what the lighting should be and what the background should be and all of this. And I went out and bought ring lights, and so I was dabbling in a pretty intense way. Then I had about 8 little videos in the can, so to speak. And someone told me, I think you should re-record those with a professional microphone. So then I fooled around with that, trying to get the right microphone. Result was, nothing ever got published because I was waiting for it to be just right. And so I kind of, you know, was giving up on it. And then started hearing more about TikTok, and Lisa started encouraging me. There were simpler ways to, Lisa is great at helping me find simpler ways to do whatever it is I'm trying to do. And so I started fooling around with TikTok, and it was so casual, spontaneous. So I've been playing around with that, and it's fun. It's spontaneous. I don't feel like I have to get everything, you know, all the right elements in place before I can do something.
So when you started doing this, where can people see your videos? Are you on Instagram and TikTok or Facebook? Where are they now? Where have you been posting?
Well, Lisa told me that I can take the TikTok videos and I can put them on Instagram. She advised going to Instagram and pulling them, I guess you'd say, from TikTok rather than doing the automatic sharing to Instagram. But
What behind that is that, you know, when you post it on TikTok, one of the good advantages is that TikTok allows you to stitch together videos. So if you have like 2 or 3 videos and a photo that you want to put together, it's fairly easy to upload those and put them together within TikTok. And then TikTok actually says that you can connect your account to Instagram and automatically have it appear on Instagram. But then Instagram is different. So if you have, say you do the one video, and it's just one video that you're uploading, then, you know, stop after you upload it to TikTok, and then you can go to Instagram and take that video directly from your phone and put it on TikTok. I mean, put it on Instagram. And then what we did is we connected Bee's Instagram account to her Facebook author page. So when she posts the video that's on her phone, that she recorded on her phone, she can post it to TikTok, and then she can post it to Instagram, and then it automatically appears on her Facebook page. And then she can also upload it to YouTube, which sometimes she does. She's still working on uploading some of those, but that's kind of the process that we went over, because there's different things with TikTok and Instagram, and you can do different things with the description, you can do different hashtags. And I think with one thing is that TikTok limits the number of characters. So with Instagram, you can put in a longer description.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I heard you mention hashtags. I find a lot of people forget to hashtag. Okay. Bee, have you found that you can come up with good hashtags that get response?
I think so. I'm still experimenting, and I do, not all of my videos are, you know, have the same audience. I was advised to go broad initially and then begin to narrow down, but my book is broad. And so some of my topics are about public health and the smallpox eradication program. Some are about women hidden behind walls, and some are about dictatorships. I've experimented with different hashtags depending on which thing I'm talking about. And also, and I'm getting ready to get with Lisa again on, you know, maybe more guidance on the hashtags. I forgot to do the hashtags for Instagram when I uploaded the video to Reel. I forgot that part. And so you can see a real difference when you use hashtags as opposed to when you do not.
So do you feel like, I mean, let's back up a little bit. Before you started doing this whole process, how did you feel about, like, you know, how book marketing was going for you? Were you selling books and now you're selling more? I mean, what has been the difference in this process of utilizing TikTok and Instagram, you know, Reels and the short video format of TikTok?
I was selling books primarily through my speaking engagements, and because I disliked social media so much and didn't think I was going to do it, I wasn't selling much of anything through that or through Amazon. And so when I decided to do the TikTok videos, one of the first things that happened was I got an email from someone who says, "I've been trying to buy your book. I've been trying to find your book, and I want a signed copy. So may I please pay you? And would you sign a book and mail it to me?" And so when I asked her how she heard about my book, she said, "On TikTok." And I thought, well, there you go. And then with like last week, I posted a more substantive video in observance of Black History Month about an African slave who introduced an early form of inoculation to this country. And I got a specific comment also that this person was going to order my book. And it has been nice to see, you know, some sales beginning on Amazon, which I'm attributing to the TikTok videos.
So you're interacting with the people that are commenting?
Yes.
And how often do you go on to check?
After I post a new video, I keep checking, you know, every few minutes for the first hour or something like that, or first half hour at least, and respond. And then, you know, I don't check very often until the next time I post, so far as checking my statistics.
How often do you think you post? I mean, do you post every day? Do you post a couple of times a week, once a week? What does that look like? You know, just so other people have an idea of what they would have to do to be successful doing something like this.
I've been shooting for twice a week, and I think a couple of times I've done maybe three in a week, haven't I, Lisa?
Yeah. And it's really, the first thing with these videos is not necessarily to sell books, but to get your audience, to build your audience, and it's the know, like, and trust thing about the marketing is before somebody will buy your book, they will know, like, and trust you. And so that's one of the things that this video does, the putting yourself out there on these platforms like TikTok and Instagram, and checking the comments and interacting with the comments, that's important. But then there's the other component of that, which is sometimes there are people, but there are other people who might encounter commenters who are critical, and that can be really tough. So it's like, if you're going to be going into posting videos, one of the things is just like putting your writing out there. You have to have a thick skin, and you have to know how to put your blinders on at certain times. I've heard people who talk about how they just can't sleep at night because of the negative comments they've got. And these are, a lot of times, these are people who have grown quite a big following. But still, one of the things that B has said is, you know, like, why are the people who are following me, why are they, do they look like spammers? And there's a lot of spammers that are out there that follow people. And that's where, you know, turn your notifications off. If you have notifications on for TikTok, you don't have to have those on. Those don't have to come through. You can turn those off so you don't have to necessarily look at, you can glance at who's following you. And if you know the people, you know, follow the people you know and that you know, like, and trust. And if you think they're a spammer, just ignore them.
I always tell people that, I mean, a follower is a follower while you're building your audience. And so even if you have bots or something like that, boosts your numbers. So in the beginning, it's okay. You just have to monitor your comments to make sure they're not like posting weird stuff in there. But that's another thing I always say too, is, I mean, your social media is a place for you to be you and like present yourself to the world and let your audience find you. And, you know, you're not supposed to just be like, buy my book, because it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's very true.
I was going to mention too that other people who are in my age group, a lot of people don't want to do anything with technology. I'm 86, and I'm having fun exploring with this. I mean, I'm having fun experimenting with different times of the day, and I actually want an international audience too. So sometimes I try to pick a time that is not when people in Europe or Africa are sleeping. But anyway, it's, I would say, you know, dive in and give it a try and see how it fits for you.
And that's great, because that really speaks to the, it's kind of myth that, oh, TikTok's only for young people. And that might be true to a certain degree, but that doesn't mean that you can't succeed at video, at TikTok, at YouTube, Instagram. You can, even if you are a senior citizen, older.
Technology is for everyone who wants to learn it. That's what I think. I mean, you know, if you, the younger generation is better at it because they've never known any different. So, you know, each of us generations, as you go, you know, back, have probably more of a learning curve when it comes to certain things. But I really think that technology is for everybody. I mean, it's here and we should utilize it if it benefits us and we want to. So yeah. Lisa, how, I mean, for you, when you're working with someone, where do you start? Like, what does that process look like? I mean, you know, B was obviously already trying to explore this route on her own and you kind of stepped in and helped her. So, I mean, with you and B, you came in maybe once she kind of already understood the process a little, where would you start with someone like B and someone who was just like, I kind of want to do this, but I don't know anything about it?
Well, one of the things that Bea addressed is that she thought, oh, well, that she has to have, you know, fancy lighting, fancy microphone, and you know, and those are important. The background and the lighting and sound, those are all important. But and we were talking the other day that, you know, if you don't have good lighting, if you don't want to spend money on a ring light, if you, you know, if where you live happens to be kind of dark, get outside. Natural light is very nice, very flattering. And so she said, oh, well, that she just went out in the backyard. And that sometimes she has, one of the things that we spoke about early on is coming up with ideas and what will be engaging. And that's the big thing, though, about video is that. And I've been reading a lot about that these kind of special effects and these things that people try to put into their videos to say, oh, well, I need something. I need to make my picture spin and come in and I need to have these flashy computer generated effects. And really studies have shown that those really don't create engagement. Which what really does create engagement are the getting, you know, just like with the writing, getting your readers hooked, getting your viewers hooked, and then also the emotional content. And one of the things that Bea does as kind of a, just because she likes it, a little extra income, but also just because she likes it, she does pet sitting. And she has a lot of friends that have pets and they travel and they need that service. So she pet sits, and I said, that's perfect. If they will allow you to let their dogs in the videos, that would be great, because animals, I tell you, that's what they've always said in Hollywood, is they tell actors, well, don't get on screen with a dog. They're going to steal the scene every time. And I just posted I was at an event and they happened to have a dog adoption type of gathering, and they called it Puppy Palooza. And so I made a little quick video of you know, the puppies running around and stuff, and I posted that on TikTok. I think I got like 1,800 views in the first few hours. So
well, cats, like, dogs, babies,
like Puppy Palooza. That's a good one.
Cute. So B, I'm just kind of curious a little bit more about your memoir. I mean, I feel like, you know, some memoirs have things that you could really pull into this format and maybe others don't. I mean, probably everybody does, but it sounded like, I mean, you were talking about smallpox and things like that. So, I mean, what is it about you and your story that translates so well into being able to make like TikToks and reels?
My husband was one of the people who helped eradicate smallpox. It's the only human disease that has ever been eradicated. And it's a medical moonshot. It's an incredible story. And it's so timely when, you know, I brought my book out during the early days of the pandemic. And So it's so relevant to a lot of concerns today. And there's that huge element. And then there is, and the memoir, my memoir is a historical memoir. There's a lot of history in it. And in fact, I was a finalist in the Indie Book Awards in the category historical nonfiction. And I was pleased that they chose it in that category rather than memoir, because there is a lot of history in it, a lot of documentation from my own archives, from my late husband's. He was a paperholic, and so I had a lot of material to work from. And sometimes I will even bring one of those documents and show it and do a little video about that particular document and what it says about history. There's, you know, as I mentioned before, the big issue of the women who were isolated behind walls that I wound up visiting and spending 3 days behind the walls of the old city of Kano in northern Nigeria, which is a Muslim area. And so one of the many cultures that keeps women isolated. And so one of the major talks I do for various audiences is about that. And so I have, and some of my videos I've done with some of my African memorabilia that I have at the house, and talking about one particular, in fact, one item I have, I'd never been able to find out what tribe it was from, where it was from. I bought it in northern Nigeria. So I did a video and I said, can anybody help me with this? I've talked to museum curators and I've never been able to find out what tribe this is from. And so I did a TikTok video asking for help and got a response. This is from the Yaka people of the Congo. And so, and also other people's books, some of the books about smallpox, other books about Africa. And I just find an endless number of ideas. I've got 1,000 of them in my head that I want to do.
Well, I was just kind of curious, like what a video looks like. I mean, so you do little snippets of history or, you know, education about eradicating smallpox and things like that. Is that kind of what your videos look like?
Yes, I should have mentioned this too. Another topic that I do quite a number of videos about is water and the need for water wells in Africa. And I use my book to support a nonprofit called Charity Water. And so I've done a number of videos about that. And I don't know. There's, I guess, probably, that's one of my next questions for Lisa when we get together, hopefully next week, is, you know, should I do like a whole series on water and then a whole series on smallpox and then, have a little more focus there?
I can answer that for you.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. People want to hear about that. I mean, you have more parts of what you can say and it starts building. They anticipate what you're going to be talking about.
Well, and what a TikTok video is a minute and a half max, unless you have like a million followers and then you can have a 3-minute video, right? So, I mean, the amount of information that you can get out in a minute and a half versus 3 minutes versus 6 minutes is, you know, I mean, it's exponential growth for that. And those topics seem important. So why not dive deep into them?
Right. Regarding the, you know, focusing on one particular thing, Lisa suggested to me last week linking to special months and days and so on. So last month was Black History Month. This is Women's History Month. In fact, I'm speaking for the Carpinteria Women's Club next Wednesday, Women Hidden Behind Walls in Observance of Women's History Month. I didn't think I was going to be able to record anything until next week. I'm flying out almost as soon as we finish this interview. So yesterday evening, I was running some last errands and I thought, you know, this is, I ought to get something started for Women's History Month. And so I did one while I was driving. I just put the phone in the little cradle and started talking about Lady Mary Wortley Montagu, who was a heroine in smallpox history. And so I just did that while I was driving. It has road noise, which is pretty bad. And I also, regarding the length, I've always kept them almost, most of them have been around 40 seconds or something like that, but under a minute. And I keep getting this message popping up from TikTok saying, videos that are longer than a minute get more engagement. Try it. So the one I posted, the one I recorded yesterday, I posted this morning at 9, and it's not doing super well. But I decided, okay, well, I'll make it longer. And it's not ideal. It's noisy. When I put up the picture of Lady Mary Wortley Montagu, the top picture is, I couldn't get rid of the black stuff at the top of her picture. And I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and post it. And
so that's one of the really great things that Bea is willing to do, is experiment. And that's one of the important things that people have to remember when they jump into doing videos and posting on these platforms, is they have to be willing to experiment and try things that are new and try things that are different. And I really commend Bea for her diligence in trying new things.
Well, and I commend Lisa for giving me simpler ways to attack almost everything in the marketing sphere.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Adana.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's the thing that I run into the most when talking to authors, you know, when it comes to social media and stuff like that, is that, you know, they feel like it's cumbersome. Like it takes time, it takes away from what they want to do. And they don't understand that there are ways to streamline it and that you can make it easier for yourself and that you can schedule things. And, you know, you don't have to be on every day. Like there are systems and processes that make it so it's attainable for everybody. But you have to be willing to learn those systems and processes to make it work for you.
Yeah. I think one of the things
to learn.
Sorry. Yeah, I think one of the things about with videos, at first I was a little reluctant about working with that because it's not my favorite area. But I find the people's curiosity is what really gets piqued with videos. Except for the dog or cat videos. I don't understand people watching do the same thing over and over, but they're cute.
But I watch dog and cat videos all the time. They're cute.
I finally saw one that made me just laugh. It was so happy, of the little baby at the baby gate and the puppy about his.
Oh, I posted that.
Oh, you posted it. Okay. Yeah. All right.
That was adorable. That video is like 3 minutes long. It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely adorable. And it's like, okay, that one I get. But I see a lot of things as I'm floating around in there that pique my curiosity. It's like, oh, what's this about? Where is going here? What's that? And I think the other people looking are looking for things, you know, that curiosity, the difference of people's lives, all of us, like what you did, Bea, and your husband with his work on eradicating the scourge of the planet, okay, is that you've had a really interesting existence and been around interesting people. And people want to see what else is out there that people have done. And I think that curiosity is a really important part of the video.
I do too. I think that's why things like reality TV, even if they're scripted, you know, have been so successful since the mid-90s when The Real World came out, because we as humans are fascinated by other humans and how they like do not even important things, like, you know, how they sit and have dinner. And we watch that as a planet now, we watch people sit and have dinner. We sit, they sit, you know, get ready to go out. I mean, the amount of get ready with me videos on TikTok and Instagram is crazy. And I think that to be able to tap into that at Bee's age, because she said it herself, is it's amazing though to be willing to do that and to, you know, to have fun with it. And I mean, I commend you for that. I think I hear often from Kathleen, I'm not learning any new technology. I've learned all the technology I want to learn in my life. And I think that, I mean, you can do that, but you're also not keeping with the time, with the moment, because I mean, man, I was having a discussion with my son. I was working on a website and I was teaching myself code that I'd never used. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm learning how to code something. And then I was like, but tomorrow it will be not, it will be like old. I won't be able to use it. I'll learn it today and I won't be able to use it tomorrow.
Right. And it's software for my computer. Social media is different. I am, you know, I'm still dabbling in that, but I've just, you know, 40 years of learning new software. I've had it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one of the things I've been thinking about how easy and spontaneous it is to do a video for TikTok. I feel like once, and I'm pretty rapidly getting more, a lot more comfortable with that, if not a lot more skilled. But because I'm getting so much more comfortable with that, and I think the influence of TikTok can't help but influence how spontaneous you might be able to be for YouTube. Mm-hmm. I can see myself, you know, if TikTok has gone away and we're no longer doing TikTok, that I think now I'll feel comfortable just go ahead and record for YouTube.
There'll still be Instagram reels till the end of time.
The what?
There'll be Instagram reels as long as there's Instagram if TikTok goes away.
Yeah. Lisa,
so in the hashtag world, did you help her find hashtags that would work for what she's doing, or did she find her own?
A little of both. Like with the water thing, I said, well, you know, mainly has to do, there's a hashtag that is actually water talk. And I said, hey, I saw this hashtag. And yes, it has mainly people use it to do with hydration, but she should, you know, if she's making videos that have to do with clean water, why not throw that in, water talk?
Right.
But I think one of the important things that Bee was talking about is just being able to feel more comfortable and not worry so much about if you make a mistake, if you stumble over a word and have to re-say it, and know that you don't have to really worry about editing that out. People want to see, like you said, about people watching people having dinner. People want to see people being human. And one of the one of the marketing gurus I follow, and I know Kathleen knows him too, Derek DePoke, he tells a story about the guy who was making a video and he happened to drop his phone. And he's like, oh, and he picks it up and then he continues his video and he edits it out. He edits and then he posts the video. The edited video. And then he got to thinking, he says, well, I wonder how the video would do if I just posted the original. So he posted the original, and the original video with him dropping his phone actually got more engagement than the one where he edited it out.
Yeah, I think the lack of polish actually is attractive.
I do too. I always try to tell people that, you know, in this world of marketing, whether you're selling books or whatever, you know, the human behind the account, that is what people want to connect with. Like, you know, we're no longer these elusive creatures that, you know, sit in a room and on our estate and write books while somebody else funds us. Like we're not those people anymore. Right. And social media has provided this platform for humans to connect with humans, whether you're a writer or you're selling products or services or whatever you're selling. And to be able to do that is such a beautiful thing, because I think that the people who do it well, like Bee seems to be doing it well, actually sell more books without having to be like, buy my book, here's my book, buy my book, because people have connected and they feel like they're friends. And that connection is the thing that actually is like the new world of marketing.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And a lot of that is the after effects of the pandemic. For the first time, virtually the entire world was isolated, or you were at home with just your family. And we never had that before. And we went into the videos to have some interaction, because the first thing a baby imprints on is your face. Yeah. That's the first thing they imprint on. They learn those faces. Then they learn. That's how they learn. And we are the same thing. We want to see people talking. We want to see what they're doing. Or I love to view the travel videos where people are showing lots of these wonderful places. And some of the Italian restaurants people wander through with their camera are fabulous, you know, in Italy. And it's like, I want to, you know, those kind of things are fun, but it's just sort of their narration of what it is. It's that interaction, and that makes them like you. And it's like, so what are you into and what are you doing? Oh, you have a book.
I like tours of people's houses for the same reason, because I'm nosy and I want to see what your house looks like, you know? But like, I don't know. I think social media is such an interesting world, and we can utilize it in so many ways. I mean, when you started, did you feel like it was fun, or were you like, ugh, and now you feel like it's fun? I mean, how has that journey been for you from starting to today, where, you know, now you can film in your car and pop it up when you stop?
I had fun kind of at the beginning, but it's becoming more fun as I feel like I'm actually getting more serious engagement with some of these. And I'm thinking, you know, I can really put my message out there. I have several messages that I want to get out there. And so, you know, I think it's just becoming more fun all the time. And I'm now more excited about trying to learn more of the fine points of the mechanics of doing TikTok well. And so I think that just the fact that I can just quickly do it. I think seeing some of the videos where some of the people who have some of the largest following, a lot of their videos, they look like they just got out of bed. They're in their pajamas, their hair looks like maybe they haven't even brushed their teeth. I don't know. And people seem to love this. My granddaughter says they do anyway.
They sure do.
And looking at some of the other videos too gives some, you know, it's new ideas all the time. There was one I saw yesterday I thought might be interesting to mention this, because I had looked for epidemiologists and doctors and people who are involved with public health. I follow a number of those people. And one of the women with a PhD in public health, she's been posting videos about the surge of measles cases. Mm-hmm. Due to the lack of vaccination. And so she says a lot of her videos have been squelched. So what she has started doing, and I saw this like 3 or 4 days ago, she was like preparing a cupcake. And her main video is like it was about this cupcake. But then she would throw in these comments about measles and the vaccination rates and so on as she's fooling with this cupcake. Well, then yesterday, I guess that, you know, she's taking it a step further, and she did not say anything about measles. She was just everything was talking about this cupcake, but she had this messaging up there in texts that would keep popping up. So I thought, okay, let's see, what can I do with that?
I love your curiosity. Yeah, that's really great. Now, Lisa, I mean, it's building the audience inside there, but are there other ways that you're taking these videos and exposing them to the marketplace?
Well, like I said, we want to spread them and as much as we can to cross the platforms with Instagram, which goes to Facebook. And then also I'm encouraging her to post on YouTube. And actually, X, she does have a, she did sign up for Twitter and she still has an account. And I said, well, you know, why not post on there? But of course, on Twitter, you post the video and you have to post some text as well. But still, you can post on there. You can post on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And what it is too, is she's a public speaker. She, and this helps with building the audience for the public speaking, as far as she's great to go and hear her in person, but also on podcasts. So that's one of the things these videos do, is helped attract people who might be interested in having her on their podcasts.
That's perfect. Yes, that's really good. Well, anything else here? Because I think we've really given people an idea that at almost any age, you can do this, as long as you're curious and you're willing to get out there and try it. So be out of everything that you've done to sort of wrap this up, what would you say would be the number one best piece of advice to give someone considering doing this?
Is to go for it. Be brave and be willing to take a chance on doing something. Be willing to give it a try and experiment without feeling that you can't do it because it can't, because you're not going to be perfect, or you know, any other fear about it. Just have a sense of adventure, I guess.
At least, what do you have something about in? Where should they start? Should they start at TikTok or Instagram or Facebook? What do you recommend?
Wherever they feel comfortable. If, you know, starting with just one, say you, if you don't have a TikTok account, then maybe you don't necessarily want to go and start one. But if most people have Facebook accounts, so maybe start by posting them to Facebook and then go from there, or start with Instagram, and then maybe you create your author page, and then you can connect your Instagram and your author page and do double duty there. I'll repeat my piece of advice from earlier, which is to have a thick skin. And just like putting your writing out there, if you put your writing out there, you've published, whether it's online in magazines or if you've published a book, you have to have thick skin, because there's always somebody who's going to come and, even if they just say you misspelled that or you used too many commas, you have to go, okay, and you have to have a thick skin.
Yeah, that's probably really good advice.
It is good advice. B, where can people find you? What's your TikTok handle, your website, things like that?
My website and my handles for all my social media are basically the same. Just B Bloeser, B-E-E-B-L-O-E-S-E-R. And my website is bbloeser.com. And all my social media are reached the same way.
Okay. Lisa, what about you?
Well, my website is 90degreesmedia.com, and that's because I am the right angle to help you write and sell your story. And all of my social media accounts are linked there for the most part. And I believe on most of my social media accounts, I'm angle on writing.
Okay. Well, I want to thank both of you for doing this, and to remind everyone that Lisa is going to be doing an in-depth webinar on March 21st, one of our WPN webinars on this topic, sort of taking you step by step through how to unlock the power of video marketing and elevate your book sales. So if you want to, just go to WPNwebinars.com. And you can learn more about it and sign up. And I want to thank both of you for being here today. It's been fun and nothing like being adventuresome your whole life. I think that's the way to live.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Talking Book Publishing is brought to you by Writers and Publishers Network, a resource for writers and indie publishers at every level and offers tools to be successful in their writing career. Writers and Publishers Network.com.